You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And welcome to my couch on LA Talk Radio. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and today we're talking about one of the most common problems I hear from patients in my office. Which is, how can I be more passionate in my life? How can I be more positive about myself? What can I do to be happier? Another question that patients ask me is, how can they learn to cope better with difficult people who drive them crazy? How to be more fabulous, basically. We'll keep it here on the couch because I and my special guest today, author Ellen Lubin Sherman, are going to help you with these and more issues. If you have a question for Ellen or myself, you can give us a call right here at the station live, 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. And if you are shy and don't want to put your voice on the air, what you can do is you can email me directly. I'll pick up the email, you have a question, and we'll put it on the air. You can email me at docmichelle@aol.com, D-O-C, Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. And Ellen is here right now. Ellen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Looking forward to it.
Well, it's great to have you. And by the way, besides being a great author, I want to mention that you, Ellen, you've been an advisor for top communications firms. You're the founder of Launch, a coaching and consulting firm for business leaders and corporations. And by the way, her latest book is called The Essentials of Fabulous. What a great read. I really liked it. What can I say?
I know, I do too. I didn't even actually come up with it. I was having lunch with a friend, and I was going to call it just simply Fabulous, and she said, no, it's The Essentials of Fabulous.
What a great idea.
I went, oh, thank you. And I kind of ran back home to the computer. That's why it's always good to hang around smart people that want you to be successful,
because
they're going to give you some great information.
That's right. And it is. It's about essentials, things you have to have. Now, a lot of folks here who live in Los Angeles, by the way, would define fabulous as looking like Kim Kardashian, or, you know, being cool like Kanye West, or...
Well, it's a very...
You know, one
term.
Of those
things.
Yeah, like a super skinny model, or, you know, any showing up at the right parties, being seen. So this is not what you're talking about, right, Ellen?
No,
you're not
at all. In fact, it's a very overused word. I probably use it, you know, I don't use it as much anymore because I'm afraid that it sounds like I'm plugging the book.
Right.
But I used to say, oh, my God, this is fabulous, and the bread is fabulous, and the restaurant was fabulous. And I'm drilling down a lot deeper now. I'm trying to talk about people's options, people's lifestyles, people's optimism, and what makes people so memorable and so joyful to be around is because they're fabulous. And they've made that decision to be fabulous. They're not born that way.
Right.
But they put a lot of work into themselves to be that kind of irresistible character that makes you feel, you know, laugh when you're with them.
Right.
And, you know, very good about yourself.
Right, right. So the quick and dirty sort of version, because I do want to go into all the little elements that make someone really fabulous that you have shared here. How do you define being fabulous? What's sort of the basis for that?
I'm sorry, repeat that, please?
How do you define fabulous in your book?
It's sort of an aura around somebody. You know, they're brimming with energy. They're passionate about their lives. They're passionate about their purpose. They feel good about themselves, and they have that confidence. So they're always walking around with something tantalizing about them. Mm-hmm. You want to know what they're up to. They have that kind of, I don't mean a Cheshire cat kind of smirk. I mean a kind of bounciness, a buoyancy that really is compelling. And I know a number of people that are like that, and I can't wait to spend time with them. They just make me happy to be in their air.
Right. And we're not talking about phonies. We're talking about the real deal, people who really feel good about themselves. Yeah.
No phonies. I don't need any more phonies in my life. I've jettisoned all of them. Yeah. That's the beauty about authentic people. Mm-hmm. Is they're not ashamed to admit when times are tough. Mm-hmm. They're not ashamed to admit that they're in a funk. And they open their heart so that you can step in and say, what can I do to help you?
Yeah.
This business of trying to guard your feelings and be wary of people knowing things about you ends up sabotaging your closeness with people.
Yeah.
I love to be authentic. I know who I am.
Right.
I know what my flaws are. I know what my insufficiencies are. Mm-hmm. But I've made peace with them.
Right.
I know what I'm good at. And so you're always looking at, like, if you're deciding, should I move? And you do the positives and the negatives. That's what you have to do about yourself. What are my positives? What are my negatives? And you'll see that your positives outweigh your negatives. So then just focus on that. Forget about the other stuff.
Well, that's true. And the more you think about it and the more you believe it, the more it makes things happen in your life. And it becomes real.
I say to write it down. I actually believe that if you were to write down a list for you, Michelle, of all the things that you think you're terrific at, whether it's forming alliances really fast, mm-hmm. connecting with people on a deep, personal level.
Yeah.
If you wrote those things down and put it on the inside of your medicine cabinet,
mm-hmm.
and every morning and night you opened up that cabinet to get the toothbrush and the floss, and you looked at that list, you would feel really happy to be you.
That's a great idea.
Yes, and I'd even laminate the card. I would type it up on a small font, like a driver's license, and take it to Staples and laminate it.
There you go.
And, pull it out and look at it during the day, especially your boss yells at you or your kids tell you that I hate you. You pull out this little card and you go, you know what? It doesn't matter.
Right.
I'm fabulous.
I'm okay.
So,
yeah, exactly.
It's about self-talk also, and you would know as a psychologist, mm-hmm. people need to talk pretty to themselves. You need to tell yourself how good you are so that you're listening to that radio station in your head that's filled with positive messages.
Mm-hmm.
And too many people are listening to, oh, my hair looks bad, I don't believe how fat I got, I'm never going to meet anybody, I don't have any close friends.
Yep.
Why would you say that to yourself? You'd never say it to your friend. But yet we say it to ourselves.
Exactly. We do. And that's the problem. That's one of the most common things I hear from people when they come in to see me is, I just can't, think positive about myself because I'm always comparing myself to people in the media and other people around me. I just don't feel enough. And I bought into all those old messages when I was a kid about how I wasn't worthy of anything. And, all that stuff. But you actually can change.
I don't think what's going on in the external world really should impact your internal world. Of course the external world is full of chaos and troubling, information. But I kind of have to disengage from that.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's going to permeate my sense of joie de vivre. I want to feel good about myself. I want to walk out the door and look at the day with anticipation and enjoyment.
Yes.
And yes, there are terrible things going on, but if you can't fix them, mm-hmm. then why are you taking them on?
Exactly.
I'm not asking you to be impervious to pain.
Right.
But unless you can go and rescue 10 million people from a tsunami, you can't contage everybody around you with your sense of, misery.
Yes.
And we do that to one another.
We really
do. Interesting, they did a study. You're only as happy as the person that is 10 feet around you.
Hmm.
So if you're in an office And 10 feet from your cubicle or office space is a person that just wallows in self-pity.
Right.
You will be infected by that self-pity. It will be very hard for you to rise above it. But I sit next to a guy. He's an attorney. Mm-hmm. We have separate, separate offices.
Yes.
And this guy is just, I don't know how he gets this up. He is just so up.
Wow.
That every time I hear him answer the phone, I kind of giggle. Because he sounds so excited by the person calling.
Wow.
So he's contaging me.
Yes, that's great. That's really great. Another reason, which we'll get into a little bit later, about how important it is to choose the people around you, and when they are not kind and they're pulling on you and you allow them to get to you and make you sad or whatever, well, it's all in our minds, it's consciousness, how to kind of make people who are negative go away in our lives.
It's unbelievable. That subject has been one of the most provocative chapters in the book.
Yes. It really
I don't
is.
Know why. Mm-hmm. I don't know really why it's become so provocative. I think it's because women tend to be overly loyal.
Yes, we
and
do.
We keep people that are way past the expiration date.
That's right.
These are people that create doubt in our minds.
Yep.
They undermine our dreams. They second-guess us. Mm-hmm. They tell us it'll never happen. And yet, we walk away from them with 100 paper cuts, but we rebook. We say yes when they want to have lunch with us again.
Right. Or we feel guilty in some way sometimes. Maybe I shouldn't. I don't want to hurt their feelings, but you're right. It's so true. And I do think women do that more than men. I agree.
Well, I don't think my husband would tolerate it. I think, if he was having a bad time with someone, I just think he would say, no, I'm kind of busy. But I overheard a friend of mine saying she took a drive to Connecticut with someone who she really doesn't like.
Right.
But she felt to keep peace.
Yes.
She would spend 2 hours in the car with her.
Yeah.
And I said, but why would you torture yourself for 2 hours with someone you don't enjoy?
Right.
And, she said, well, I don't want to make waves.
Yep.
My point is all those things, all those accommodations that we make to these negative people hurt us. They hold us back. They put weight on our sails.
Right.
And if
right.
you were to just have the courage to say to someone, you know what? I don't think this is working out for me.
Yes.
Don't blame the other person. Just blame yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I just think I need to take a little hiatus from the friendship.
Right.
And let's see what happens.
Yeah. It's a good idea. It really is. And we'll probably be happier, actually.
I don't have one frenemy in my life anymore because I couldn't write this book if they were still around me.
Yeah.
They would have turned me into a slobbering mess.
Aww.
By surrounding myself with positive people.
Yes.
Who, every time I said, I can't get this done, they said, yes, you can.
There you go.
You must get it done.
That's right. Exactly. Well, by the way, if you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Ellen Lubin-Sherman. She's the author of the book, The Essentials of Fabulous. And in parentheses, it says, because whatever doesn't work here anymore. You better believe it. And Ellen, you suggest 11 traits of people who you've defined as being truly and completely fabulous. So I think listeners really would like to hear what some of those traits are. So
well, of course, I would love to tell you about the first chapter, which was about passion and being passionate about life. I can't live without passion.
Right.
It would be like cutting off my oxygen supply. I love people that are really engaged with what they're doing. Whatever they're doing, they really feel a sense of excitement about it.
Yeah.
And they're excited about being who they are. They're excited about what they've achieved and what they want to achieve. And they're brimming. They're brimming with this brio that is very, very seductive.
Right.
And passionate people are just exciting to be around. They're smart. They're curious. They're interesting. And they share. They're not selfish. They want to bring you along on the ride. And if they see you're in a little slump, they want to get you back. They want to, come on. I got enough energy to share with you.
Yeah.
So I love passionate people.
Mm-hmm.
Good passion. good passion.
And people need to sort of find what they love and do what they love, and then they'll be more passionate in their life. Wouldn't you agree, Ellen?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that's self-awareness, and that takes time. You know, you really have to know yourself, and it takes some honesty on your part. I mean, you have to look at yourself and say, do I love what I'm doing? Am I tolerating what I'm doing?
Right.
Am I tolerating it, or do I really get excited about it? And it could be anything. I know someone who moved back to Bogota, Colombia, because she really wants to be an organic farmer, and she was a biomedical engineer in New York.
Yes.
But she said, I really don't love what I'm doing. I love organic farming.
Right.
And, you know, it sounds crazy, maybe, but this is what she wants to spend her life doing. And she will be successful because she'll have that energy to get up early, to stay late. It's really, really, really helpful. And let me tell you, the reason I subtitled it, because whatever doesn't work here anymore.
Right.
We can't afford to be whatever.
Nope.
We have a very tough economy.
Right.
Whatever people are going first. The passionate people, the ones that give 120%, they're going to find a way to keep them on.
Oh, yeah. You've got that right. It's important. And I think this is really going to appeal to a lot of people, too, because it's about being on your game, being okay with who you are, feeling good about what you do, reaching out socially, all those things that are so important, you know, to be healthy. You're right on, Ellen. We really have.
Yeah, well, it kind of trumps age, too. You know, I just wrote a post for a website that caters to women over 50.
Uh-huh.
And they wanted to know about reentering the job market. And I never look at my age, I'm 58, as a point that would deter someone from hiring me or asking me to participate in something because I'm on it.
Right.
I've done the work. I do the work. I read a paper. I read certain blogs that have topical information.
Right.
I'm curious. If someone is an expert in a subject, I want to know something about them. I want to find out how did you get into it? How did you start?
Yes.
Did you have a mentor? You know, that kind of erases 10 years off your life when you're that brilliant and excited about things.
It really does.
So it's in your interest to be really, you know, with it. It's really in your favor.
Yes, it really is. I agree. And, you know, you also talk about how important it is for folks to stay away from, as you call them, frenemies. And we talked about earlier, pessimists, because they'll bring you down. So let's talk about how to spot a frenemy.
They're very easy to spot.
Right.
They're very easy to spot. Yeah. The minute you leave them, even when you're with them, you're just getting chills up the back of your neck, or you're feeling sad, or you're defensive by what they're saying. One of my examples is, and it's a true example, is a woman, a friend of mine's husband has to commute from New York to Houston.
Right.
And she told another woman that, you know, he was going to start commuting, and she said, I know somebody whose husband commutes, and within a year he was cheating.
Oh my God. Oh, that's terrible.
I mean, she walked away with like 1,000 paper cuts.
Yes.
With all this doubt in her head, anxiety in her head, where somebody who really is your friend would never say that.
No.
They would say, it'll work. You'll make it work. You'll go to Houston. He'll come home on the weekends. It'll be sexy. It'll be fun. But a frenemy looks for an opportunity to draw blood.
Right.
They love to see blood.
Mm.
And if you're bleeding, that's not somebody you should have in your life.
No. And I suspect this frenemy person who you gave an example of has a lot of unresolved problems. And so she's projecting that onto this poor so-called friend of hers. You know, saying that this is what your husband's going to do, probably. That's the subliminal underlying, you know, nasty comment there. That's not a friend. That's not a very healthy person to hang out with.
You know, again, to get traction in your life, to be have the momentum, you need the oil and the grease that keeps the car going, that gets your tires inflated.
Mm-hmm.
It's a full tank of gas. when you're around your frenemy, they're siphoning off the gas. They're putting nails into your tires. They're putting a trunk load of matzah into your car. And then you figure out, oh my God, I can't get there. I'll never get there.
Right.
You want people that just push you, urge you, and wave the pom-poms when you've nailed it.
Yes.
And when you're around those people, you're going to be so happy.
It's true.
So positive.
It's so true. And you talk about people who are fabulous being delightfully authentic. And we talked about being authentic at the beginning of the show as well. People who keep it real with you. And what exactly do you mean by that in your book?
Well, it's funny. There was an article in the Times 2 weeks ago about authenticity, how they try to teach people how to be more authentic. They're trying to teach some of the Republican candidates how to be more authentic. And I kind of laughed at that because you're going to teach me to be authentic. It's coming to grips with who you are
right. And
accepting yourself in a way that you don't have to put on the pose and you don't have to put on the mask,
right.
But you're just who you are. And you, believe it or not, you lower my anxiety when you're authentic.
Absolutely.
I'm not questioning why you're saying this or why you're saying that.
Right.
I think it's a wonderful quality to someone to just be themselves. And, you know, even my mother, she's taken on this lady, Catherine de Bourgh from Pride and Prejudice, this sort of like English accent. She's like the Madonna of Brooklyn.
Yes.
And I said to her, what's with your accent? You're not British. Oh, she just developed it. And, you know, where's my mother? I can't really go after her.
No,
but if I knew somebody who started speaking in a British lilt,
right.
I certainly would say, wait, you're from England? I mean, you know, it's a kind of, you know, appropriation of something
right.
that's very not genuine,
right.
disingenuous, and it's not becoming. I think it's really becoming to be exactly who you are and not change anything about it.
Yeah, right.
Let it go.
Exactly.
Let it go.
That's right. And also part of that, as you said, is being vulnerable. Because you're okay, and it doesn't matter what other people think. If you're okay with your shortcomings or something you did that you're not proud of and you want to talk about it, who cares? You've already dealt with it, and it's cool. It's okay with you. So your mom was pulling...
But Michelle, do you realize how tough it is in a world where they Photoshop the models and they encourage people to get all sorts of plastic surgery?
Yeah.
It's very tough to just age and be yourself and not feel like you're a work in progress in terms of your physical attributes.
Sure.
I'm talking about your internal characteristics.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying be yourself. Be your warm-hearted self. Be your genuine self.
Yep.
Be your generous self. Find those beautiful qualities that maybe are hidden and bring them out. And don't worry about a wrinkle.
Yeah.
The wrinkles are totally irrelevant when somebody is looking at your smile and your laughing eyes.
Mm-hmm. You know, you also talk about people being warm and completely accessible. And that's part of that. Folks who need to be fabulous need to be warm and completely accessible. So what are some of the ways people can work on themselves to become more warm and accessible? I know a lot of people... from their upbringing or from, I don't know, their social situations, have not been around a lot of warm and fuzzy people. So they tend to withdraw themselves and are cautious. How can people relax?
It's nonverbal. It starts with the nonverbal communication.
Yeah.
I mean, a person who smiles, who's genuinely interested, whose cell phone is taken away or, you know, put on hold or vibrate and not answered.
Right.
All those things make you much more accessible than if you're the kind of person who goes, oh, wait a second, hold on, I got to take this call.
Right.
That is the biggest turnoff, and that's technology that's trumping good manners.
Yep.
Accessibility is also empathic kind of mental telepathy.
Right.
You're listening on both levels. What are they saying? But what's their face saying?
Yeah.
Are they telling you things are great, but do their eyes look a little red, like they've been crying?
Mm.
I mean, you have to really listen to people. You have to listen and try to figure out where there's an opening where you can move in and develop that kind of closeness. I think we are so separated from one another because
yeah.
of these text messages and instant
oh, yeah.
messages and voicemail and this and that, that when we get in front of someone, we've forgotten how to connect.
Yes, I agree. I think we have. You know, it's...
And warm people just make me so feel so loved. I feel
yes.
so loved, and that it's a great feeling.
What I think, too, is also when we're communicating via text or we're tweeting or we're emailing or whatever we're doing, it's also up to interpretation based on how we feel at the moment or based on the lack of understanding or hearing the tone in someone's voice. So that is also
Absolutely.
Sort of cold, you know. Yeah.
But, you know, take opportunities. There are opportunities.
Yeah.
A young boy is standing at the bus stop, you know, waiting for the bus, and he says, "Hi, Mrs. Sherman, how are you today?" I went back that day to my office, and I wrote his mother a note that compliments to you on your son's beautiful manners and the way he greeted me this morning.
Yes.
And I went out of my way, got the stationery, wrote it, put a stamp on it. But look at the impact that had on the mother.
Yes.
You're letting her know, I see what you've done.
Yes.
Your child's delightful. And I didn't say, you know, I saw your PowerPoint. I said, I see the kind of child you've raised.
Yes.
And he's a delightful addition to humanity.
Yes.
And you're to be congratulated.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
we've got to look for those little moments, those little details, when we can let someone know, wow, this woman is fabulous.
Yes.
And I'm not being aggrandizing here. I'm just saying we have lots of those opportunities,
mm-hmm.
but we don't use them.
Yes, it's so true. By the way, in case you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Ellen Lubin Sherman. She's the author of the latest book, The Essentials of Fabulous, because whatever doesn't work here anymore. And we're talking about how to be fabulous, and we encourage you to call in if you have any questions for Ellen and or myself at 323-203-0815, or you can instantly email me here and ask a question if you would rather not have your voice on the air. Ellen, we do have an email from somebody. Shall we go for it?
I don't have an email.
We have an email from a listener right now who
course.
Would like to ask you a question.
Ellen at essentialsoffabulous.com. I love questions. I love people writing to me. I save everything. I am so happy to connect with people that are reading the book or hearing me on the air or watching me on television. This has been one of the most fun experiences of my entire life.
Oh, it sounds like
sharing my philosophy and hopefully giving people a little sense of optimism about what
sure,
they can accomplish.
Sure. Well, Ellen, what I was mentioning is we have an email from a listener who would like to ask you a question live on the air.
I could go get my iPad
no,
so that if somebody
wants
to write to me.
Oh, no, I have the email that just came up right here on my computer. So let's answer this question from Crystal.
Okay.
She's listening to the show right now. And she said, Doc and Ellen, I've been listening to your show and have a question. I have been hurt many times by men in my life, and I'm cautious about being too open, warm, and accessible. What would you tell me to help myself?
She feels she's too open?
She says that...
Is that what her...
No, she says she's cautious because she's been hurt by too many men in her life. And she's
Ooh.
Cautious about being too open and too warm.
I know what you mean. Yeah, of course.
Too accessible.
Mm-hmm. So, well, I hate to encourage people not to be open, but I think they have to be aware that if they're feeling uncomfortable in someone's presence, it probably has to do with the person, not with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a gates closed attitude. I'm always up for a new friend, a new acquaintance. But if I sense that they may have a secret agenda or they're looking for an opportunity to hurt me,
right,
it's the end.
Yes.
It's over.
Right.
It's over very fast.
Right.
Because I can't take on those people.
Mm-mm.
They will upset me, and they will make me sad about myself. And that's, I don't want to be sad about myself. I want to like myself, accept myself, and give myself the thrust I need to go and accomplish things. So I urge that email writer to keep herself open. It's
sure.
Beautiful.
Yes.
But you know, be unsparingly honest with herself when she feels, this is not working for me.
Right. Great answer. And Crystal, thank you for emailing us. By the way, if you want to email live here on the air, you can do so. Have a question? Don't want to be on the air live? Don't want to be heard? Go ahead, email me, docmichelle@aol.com, and instantly we will try to answer your question, all right? In your book, Ellen Knight, you know, you are funny. You crack me up. You have a great sense of humor. And I love it where you help people try to understand how important it is for them to have impeccable manners. And also, you know, you give some thou shalt type commandments to help readers. So can you share some of those thou shalt in order to have a little bit more flair, to have manners, things that people should think about?
Well, thou shalt, the commandment number one, of course, is to show up joyfully expectant.
There you go.
Too many people show up and are dragging behind this kind of negative or sad, you know, kind of old baggage. And they right away put, you know, they suck all the oxygen out of the room.
Right.
So I whatever is going on in your life, if you have to show up somewhere,
right,
you put on your happy little face and you smile and you look interested, because it's going to be a very unpleasant experience for others. The next commandment is show up on time.
Mm.
I don't understand how people can think they can. It doesn't affect other people,
right,
when they're constantly late.
Mm, right.
It's just not a fabulous quality.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, it's our young people, and I'm talking about my children that are in their late 20s,
mm-hmm,
you know, they like, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. No, I won't accept it.
Yeah.
I come for any meeting 5 minutes early,
right,
to give myself, you know, relax, review,
right,
look in the mirror, make sure I don't have anything between my teeth so that I don't walk in like a harried mess.
Right.
So I'm a real believer in showing up on time, because I think it's a sign of manners. I respect your time.
Right.
I am telling you that your time matters to me,
yeah,
and I'm not going to expect you to be sitting around.
Mm-hmm.
The other, yeah, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
The other commandment is not to show any sign of boredom. I can't believe how people will roll their eyes when they're in front of someone.
Unconsciously.
Yawn. Like, tell me something,
right,
I don't know. I mean, excuse me?
Yes, right.
You know, that's funny on The Office or 30 Rock.
Yeah.
But when I'm talking to you and you're looking right over my shoulder to see if somebody better is coming in, it makes
right
me feel really bad.
Yeah.
And that's not what fabulous people do.
Yes.
They stare you in the eye. They look at your eyes. They smile. They show interest. And then they use their exit strategy. My exit strategy is always, when I feel that the conversation has come to a, you know,
yeah,
proper close,
sure,
I will say, you know what? I've taken up too much of your time. I'm going to let you socialize a bit.
That's
and
really
I leave.
Good. That's lovely. No, that's really appropriate. And how often have we gotten stuck with someone else who wants to tell us their life story because they're uncomfortable in a party or, you know, in some kind of a gathering, and you're like, ooh, you're getting a little lootsy because you want to get away from this person, and they're sort of sucking the air out of the room. And so, yeah, it's really appropriate.
But you're really never stuck.
Yeah.
You're never stuck. It's just that we don't have the language,
exactly,
to do it in a very thoughtful, you know, kind of generous, gracious way. And I always make it seem like they're the most popular.
Right.
And no doubt everyone wants to spend time with them.
Right.
So I'll give them the chance to
go
mingle. And you know, and then there's a lot of nonverbal things. You know, you could step one step back.
Yes.
Which sort of indicates that you're about to, you know, perhaps get a drink at the bar.
Right.
Or perhaps use the powder room. But I really find that saying, you know what, I've taken too much of your time, right, making it seem like they're the most compelling, but I'm going to share you with the other people. And then they walk away with this feeling of, wow, I must be amazing. And I get out of the, you know, I get out of this encounter.
You're good. That's a good one. And it's gracious and thoughtful, actually.
It works. Believe me. Trust me. It really works.
Yeah. You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Ellen Lubin Sherman. She's authored a new book. It's called The Essentials of Fabulous, because whatever doesn't work anymore, and it sure doesn't. You have to get with it. Stay in the game. Be authentic. Have some flair. Have some class. Have some manners. And also, Ellen, you suggest that folks utilize opportunities and be different. Be a little bit different when you're talking to folks to become more competent in their life. So what do you mean by be different?
Oh, it's so easy to be different today, because 90% of people are just so rude. That's the 10% of us who care about good manners and being respectful are really going to shine.
Mm-hmm.
But when I say be different, I don't follow the flock. I do my own thing. I don't care what they're showing in the magazines.
Right.
I look on the streets, and I look at the way people are dressed, and I'll say, you know what, that's a great combination.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do it, and I'll try it on myself. I mean, not in a silly way. I dress, I think, appropriately for a woman of advanced age. But I rock it. I have fun. I mean, that whole idea of flair, which I know you're going to get to eventually,
yes,
but the flair part is not a shallow thing.
Right.
It's a kind of way of communicating to people,
right,
that you are a package filled with puppies on a Christmas morning.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have flair, it's a certain kind of style. It's a certain kind of self-awareness.
Right.
It's just like a little wink and a twink, and it lets people know you have a sense of humor,
yeah,
that you don't take yourself so seriously, that you have a great time, that you're fun to be with. I think being different is really is to your advantage, especially if you're considering going back to work or
mm-hmm.
trying to move ahead.
Right.
People that are memorable
mm-hmm.
are very, very good in terms of staying on the boss's radar screen. And if you're memorable in a beautiful way, with great manners, or standing up when you shake someone's hand, or you always use eye contact, or
right,
your handshake is firm,
mm-hmm.
or you're gracious when offering somebody a glass of water when they're waiting in the waiting room, and you
right,
see them and say, is anybody helping you?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
all these little things that you can do.
Right.
Well, how about when you're standing on the supermarket line, and instead of saying, I'll have the plastic, I want paper, I have my own bags, why don't you look at the supermarket person and go, how was your day today?
Right. Right. Exactly. Do something out there. Act like you
they
care.
They're not robots.
Reach
they're
out.
They're people.
Exactly.
They're people.
No,
exactly. It's just enraging to me when I'm waiting for something, coffee, and the woman is on the cell phone, or man, and they're telling the person something, and
right,
then they're pointing to the barista. No, 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 no. Skim milk, skim milk. And then they're going back to the conversation.
Right, right.
And, you know, I'm gonna get murdered one day. I'm sure somebody's going to pull out a knife and stab me. But I will say to this phone cell talker,
right,
excuse me, that person's a human being. That's not a robot.
Right.
You're treating them like a robot.
Exactly. Good for you,
I know,
Ellen.
You know, I don't know. I just can't help myself, but I think we've developed some really bad habits.
No, I do the same thing. If someone is being extremely rude, or you know, in public, interrupting other people, or treating, you know, the people who serve the public really badly, I do the same thing, Ellen. So I get what you're talking about, and I think it's important.
All right, so it'll be a double funeral.
There you go.
I'm kidding you.
No, kidding you.
Hey. It's just these little moments that stick out in your mind,
yes,
of something that was so unfortunate, so thoughtless, so demeaning and
yes,
derisive.
Yes.
When you can go, you could be different by being saying hello to someone or,
right.
or introducing yourself rather than waiting for someone to introduce themselves to
right.
you. I really am big into the initiation.
Sure.
I will always go over to someone and say, how do you do? I'm Ellen.
Right.
And offer my hand.
Exactly.
And I think people hold back. They're afraid they're going to be rejected or no one's going to be interested in them. Get past that.
Yeah, exactly.
Get past that. No one is going to reject you for offering your hand.
It's so true.
They're going to be delighted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Delighted.
Yes. And it's also about body language, too, as you know. And you're not going to thrust yourself forward and scare someone. The way you do it is gently reach out and have a big smile and give them eye contact. And you know how to do that. You get it. And speaking about...
Absolutely.
Speaking about get
Absolutely.
It...
These are everyday
yeah.
things. These are just so commonsensical.
Right.
But we're so virtual
yeah.
that when we're in front of someone, we don't capitalize on that one-to-one
yeah.
moment.
Yeah.
And we're missing out on opportunities to impress someone. So later on, if you do need support or help or advice
right.
or a referral or somebody to open a door for you, if you haven't impressed that person
yeah.
with the fact that you're extraordinary,
right.
you're not going to be able to have those bridges.
Yep. It's true. It's so true. I agree with you. You're on the couch, by the way, with Dr. Michelle here on LA Talk Radio. My special guest today is author Ellen Lubin Sherman. And the book, it's a good read, guys. It's comfortable and it's fun and it'll help you out. It'll put you in a positive mood. It's called The Essentials of Fabulous because whatever doesn't work here anymore. And, of course, you can get the book at all the major bookstores anywhere online if you'd like. Go in there. Physically pick it up if you'd like to do that as well. And we're talking to Ellen about just really how to be more fabulous and not the Los Angeles type fabulous, but more just make your life more meaningful. Be a social being. Be a happy person. Love that which you are. Do what you want to do in life. Grab it and take it. You also said,
I love that.
Well, you
grab it
you.
And take it. Grab it and take it. And stop. You know, stop focusing on the negatives and focus
right.
on your positives. That's an old coaching rule, is when a person comes to me and we talk about their positives and they talk about the stuff they're not good at, frequently somebody else can do the stuff you're not good
right.
at.
Right.
You know, if you're not good at math, you could ask somebody who works in a bank to
right.
maybe help you balance your checkbook.
Yeah.
But maybe there's something you can do that person wouldn't know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you know every word to every Broadway show. Or maybe you're the kind of person that livens up a party with your sense of humor. The stuff that makes you special is what you need to focus on. And we need to work hard at that because
mm-hmm.
it's very easy to start to, you know, be negative. And as we get older, to start staring at the mirror and,
right.
you know, pushing your face up and trying to make it look, you know, put maybe rubber bands around your ears. And I don't know what people do.
Paper clips.
It's self-acceptance. It's self-acceptance
right.
and forcing yourself to do these little things that I've outlined in the 10 chapters of what you can do. Easy steps, baby steps.
Right, right.
You can't do it in one day.
Sure.
But start. With
exactly.
a smile. Say hello to people. Initiate the hello. Don't answer your cell phone when you're with someone.
Right.
Nobody believes you when you say, I'm expecting a call from the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
No one believes you.
Right.
Doctors don't call back.
Right. That's true. You know, also here you say that fabulous people get it. What's it, Ellen?
It is it. I mean, I hate to be like President Clinton and parse the word it is, but getting it, get it. Know what Facebook is.
Right.
Know what Twitter is. Know about a great new thing called Pinterest,
mm-hmm.
where you make a little, like, pegboard of photos that you like.
Right.
Know what's going on in the world.
Right.
It shaves 10 years off your life.
Yes.
It just shaves 10 years. If you're 58, now you're playing at 48.
Right.
You need to know things. You need to be curious. You need to know who Jeremy Lin is. You don't have to know that he plays for the Knicks, that he went to Harvard, that his parents, he's from California, his parents were immigrants. You have to know Tebow, and you have to
right.
know who won the Pulitzer. I mean, I need to know these things. I have to know about a movie that just came out that they're standing in line for all night long.
Yeah.
The people that know these things, and I'm not even talking about being an expert,
right.
But they're just, you know, they're engaged. They're reading,
exactly.
They're thinking, they're watching, they're curious, they ask people questions. They're really very much in this world. They're fully present.
Yes.
They haven't packed it in.
That's a great way to put it.
I don't believe in packing it in.
No. Nope. Be curious about your world. You know, I mean, that's a really important thing, too. Listen to the news, but like you said, get involved in the social media. Find out what's going on, the latest newsmakers.
Learn how to use a computer.
Yes.
You know, I have a friend that doesn't want to learn how to use a computer, and she's not even 60.
No.
You know what?
Yeah.
Go to a class. Ask someone to teach you.
Yeah.
Hire a high school kid.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
if you want to, you know, get out there or maybe reinvent yourself and you don't know how to make a Word document,
yeah,
it's going to hold you back. And if someone says to you, I want to keep in touch with you. Are you on Facebook? Do you have email?
Sure. Exactly.
Oh, I don't have email.
Right.
Right away, I know that's not somebody I really can, you know, relate to.
No, exactly.
Because, you know, everyone's on voicemail. I don't want to interrupt somebody.
Right.
I think email is great, but not always for everything. I would never send a condolence card.
Oh,
by email.
No.
But people do that.
Sure.
People do that.
No. I know. It's
sorry to hear about your loss. What foundation or organization should we donate to?
Yeah.
Email?
No.
You send that to me in an email?
No.
Oh my God.
I know. There are certain situations that are really inappropriate. But I mean, a lot of people would, because they're so used to communicating in all manners online. But yeah, there's
what's wrong with
things...
the personal stationery?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's help the U.S. Postal Service.
There you go.
Get yourself a beautiful box of stationery and some great looking stamps, which, by the way, you can buy online.
Mm-hmm.
And they're absolutely beautiful, much prettier than the ones in the Post Service. Now, I'm not a representative for the Postal Service, but when you get a letter in the mail, it's like a gift.
It is. It's
fun. Like a gift.
It's different.
Who writes letters anymore?
Nobody.
Who writes notes anymore?
Exactly.
It's another way to differentiate yourself. And that's part of what I'm talking about.
Right.
It's setting yourself apart from other people.
Yes.
And being original.
Yes.
And being cool and hip and knowing things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what bumps you up
mm-hmm.
to the top of the mountain where you are the fabulous, real deal, authentic one.
Beautifully said, Ellen. And we are coming close to the close of the program. So I just want to help listeners get a hold of your book. And also, if they'd like to contact you, what would be the best way to do that?
Well, I want to correct you on one thing. The book is not in bookstores. It's on Amazon. It can be downloaded onto Kindle, or you can go to the iTunes bookstore and you can download it onto your iPad or iPhone. And it is in select stores all around the country. If you go to my website, www.essentialsoffabulous, it lists all the shops that are currently selling the book.
Yay.
But I chose to not go to bookstores because I'm competing against all these self-help books.
Right.
And I think my book is a little different because it's color illustrated.
It is different.
Yes. It's just a little different. So I made the choice to go to lifestyle stores because
mm-hmm.
I think it's a pretty little book. It's very, very sweet. And it's full of great information.
I would adore
people going to the website and signing up for my blog, which comes out twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say, if you think I'm funny in the book,
mm-hmm.
I'm four times as funny without my editor
slapping
me around and telling me, take that out, take that out, take that out.
Right.
I'm all by myself. I'm just winging it.
Well, listen, there you go, folks. And I will have all this information up. And if you missed a lot of the show today, you can, of course, download it tomorrow afternoon. It will be available for replay as well. If you'd like, all my shows are on iTunes as well, folks. Just look it On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. Ellen, thank you so much for being on the show today. You're a blast. It's been a hoot.
You are, too. You're a blast.
Well, thank you so
much. You really are a blast.
Thank you for sharing this good information, too. It's not only funny and entertaining, it is very psychologically savvy as well, may I say. So.
I try.
You do.
I try.
You do well. You done good, my girl. All right.
Thank you.
All right, Ellen. Take good care and have a lovely weekend.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now. All right. Again, if you'd like to get more information on the show, and you can contact me here at DocMichelle@AOL.com. And the show will be available for air, replay, and download tomorrow, again on iTunes. So, as I always do say before I leave, do take care of yourself first, please, and then you'll be great for others. See, that's the way it works. It's not narcissistic. It's just the way it works. Have a good weekend, and I'll be back next Friday with another ultra special guest. I'm going to teach you how to feel better about yourself and life in general. Have a good day.